You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your hosts here, Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, and I gotta tell you what, your hosts are a little upset today. Wouldn't that be a sentiment you could agree with, Trey?
I do agree. As the listeners know, my distaste for Jimmy Butler has grown overnight. Not just via his Instagram pictures where he looks like he kind of called out Andrew Wiggins, maybe, possibly, but also just that Philadelphia 76ers team as a whole. They are just so frustrating to play against because they're just so damn cocky, Colton.
And there's nothing worse than cocky people who can back it up. And boy, did they back it up. Holy smokes. At 83 points in the first half. Two consecutive quarters where they had they had 40 or more in that first half, and then they finished out 34-17. They outscored the Timberwolves in the fourth quarter. They won by 42 points. If you missed it, people, 149-107. It was a rough one, and Joel Embiid had a great game, 31 points, 13 rebounds, but it wasn't like there was somebody who dropped 50 on this team, but you did have every one of their starters score double digits, and you had two players off the bench score double-digit points. It was more of an overwhelming performance from the team versus one singular performance that really broke everyone's back, and they shot basically 60% from the field as a team too, the 76ers did. So not only were they playing well, they were playing really, really efficient.
Yeah, I tried to be a good co-host this morning and really look for the last time that a team scored this many points against the Timberwolves and not an overtime game and just a four-quarter game. And I stopped just a few years back, I think around 2015. I was just like, I give up. I don't really want to keep doing this. This is depressing. This is just so many points. I'm sure somebody found it on there on Twitter, and I'm sure it was a very long time ago. This is just a horrible, horrible game from every player all around, essentially. I don't think there was a performance where I was like, okay, that went well or pretty well. Maybe Dario Saric had some nice bright moments there, but I don't know, man. It's just the Philadelphia Sixers, like they haven't really looked like that for the past few games. I mean, we talked about them losing to Atlanta, and that game was worrisome for them moving forward. And you know, we were excited going into this one, sort of. We both called a loss in this one, but we were still, you know, we're still positive. This game just, you know, left a bad taste in both of our mouths, obviously. And there's so much good talent on that 76ers team, that starting lineup. The guys we talked about were pretty obvious that did well. The Butler, Embiid, Simmons show, they all did very, very well. And also, just, you know, their three-point shooting, which you alluded to in the past pod, they shot 21 of 43 from three, shooting 48.8%. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's not even the 76ers were clearly keyed in for this game because not only Jimmy Butler came out strong, he shot 80% from the field in this game and had 19 points. He also had a few steals and a block. And so he was clearly keyed in. I think he got his teammates jazzed up. Joel Embiid loves playing Karl-Anthony Towns. We know this. And so he was going to be keyed into this game too. But it wasn't just that. It was that the Timberwolves played so atrociously bad. They shot 38% from the field, 34% from three. And you look at their players, this was Karl-Anthony Towns' worst game in like 3 weeks. Wiggins shot 28%. You had Okogie. He came crashing back down to earth after a couple solo games. He shot 16%. You had Tyus Jones, who has been playing really well. He shot 14%. And he only had 3 points. Okogie with only six. Wiggins only had 12 points. I mean, you look across the slate, Towns had 13 points. You look across the slate, and it was just a bunch of really bad stinkers all at one time for the Timberwolves after so many promising games for so many pieces all over this team. I mean, I'm being serious here. The best moment for the Timberwolves was when Sarge and Rocco got the standing O.
Oh, yes, that was a really good moment. Yeah, I was happy for them. I really wanted to see Rocco in that jersey, though. That would have been fantastic to see him get that ovation standing up there. And we might have actually, you know, only lost by 30 in that case, I guess.
Gosh damn it. All right, so we're going to try and pull ourselves out of this collective misery that we're in and tell you exactly what the Timberwolves can fix immediately, because some things you just can't turn around right away, I think. But what things they can fix immediately and why you shouldn't be selling all your stock crazy quick on this team. So the things I wanted to get to right away, not being able to fix immediately, I think that this game does not spell the end. I know that usually, like the last couple of years, Towns seems to have these runs where he is crazy, but it only lasts about 2 weeks or so. And then he kind of slides into the background for a week or two, and then he comes back with a couple crazy weeks. I don't think that this one game means that he's receding into the background again. I think that he's going to come out super strong against the Spurs. I think this was more a blip, and he's going to have continue to put up some really impressive stats versus this is kind of his usual cycle. I don't think it's that. I think that this is one game and that he's going to get back to being an insane monster. What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, I mean, I think Towns is the obvious one where he's going to come back and he's going to do very, very well. He didn't really look out of it mentally in this game. It just looked like they were down by a lot in that first half, and he kind of was just like, we're not going to come back and win this game. And you kind of saw that attitude from Ryan Saunders too, for better or worse. He didn't really try to, you know, lead this team in the fourth quarter, trying to not lose by as many points as possible. He just kind of let Philly do their thing. He even gave Luol Deng 15 minutes in this game, which was saying a lot. And surprising to me, maybe to you as well, Luol Deng actually played fairly well in this game with 11 points. And he shot 3 of 6 from the field. He even got to the line a few times. That was pretty impressive. And even Kieta Bates Diop got some minutes in this one. What did you think about that?
I like Kieta Bates' job. I think that he could be an interesting player. The fact that he was getting minutes is probably not a good sign for the Timberwolves, just because they haven't really played him. And so, you know, it's a blowout when he's playing. I think that there's I'm not there every single practice, but I think that there's a creative way that you could, just because he's so long and in such an interesting piece, if you could have him there offensively to play with guys like Darius Arch, Anthony Tolliver, Karl-Anthony Towns, really make that long lineup. I mean, there's almost a formula here for the Timberwolves where they could kind of have like a baby Bucks lineup where they just have a ton of really long players who they don't have in a specific position. But Kieta Bates' job has to really be consistent on the offensive end too for that to work, and I just don't know if he's there yet. But I think it's good to have him playing some minutes. I will say one of the other things that I noticed in this game is that Wiggins really played limited minutes, and for somebody who did get a bulk of minutes when he was feeling it, I kind of like that Saunders said, you know what, tonight's just not your night. We're not going to play you crazy amounts of minutes. And obviously, there wasn't a ton of guys that played a ton of starters that played a bunch of minutes. But I mean, Wiggins was one of the guys who played 40 minutes against OKC. And I think it's just, I think it shows early on in Saunders' tenure that he is got an understanding of where his guys are at in games and when it's time to pull the plug on some certain things in games. I mean, Josh Okogie only played 21 minutes in this game. He shot 16%. I mean, that was probably a good pull early. And I think that's a pretty good awareness of where his team's at.
Well, it's funny you bring up Andrew Wiggins. That was going to be my next point. Since that 40-point performance against the Thunder, he is averaging 15.7 points per game on 34% shooting from the field, 30% shooting from three-point, and 35 minutes in each of those outings, and 3 turnovers per game. He's been playing terrible since that 40-point game, and I just don't understand the perplexing nature of Andrew Wiggins. Like, if he knows he needs to step up, but yet he gives us these inconsistent, you know, solid games. Obviously, a 40-point game is more than just a solid performance, but still felt solid for Andrew Wiggins because you knew he was going to come back and do this. Like, it's just rough because we talked about the day after that 40-point performance. Like, is he going to come back as a new Andrew Wiggins in 2019? And he's not showing us that, Colton.
Yeah, I was really hoping this was the year of Andrew Wiggins, but he's strung a few games together that have just been, and it's not even that abysmal is the right word, because there will be like 3 minutes in a game where he's really fun, but that's the thing, is that it's 3 minutes. I mean, in this game he had 12 points, he had a few steals, he had a block. There will be like a moment in a game where you'll be really excited about Wiggins, but he just gets... There's so many times last night where I forgot he was playing. Let's put it that way. Where you're just like, oh my gosh, is that Wiggins out there? I haven't heard his name in like 6 minutes. And that's probably the last three games at least of Andrew Wiggins' performances, is that you just forget that he's out there because he just recedes into the background. And like he shot 28%, which was bad from the field, but he didn't take a crazy amount of shots in this game. It was definitely one of those games where he just disappeared from the floor. And that's not what you want to hear from somebody you're paying max money.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. And, you know, not to get too sad on the pod, but there really wasn't another bright spot on this list besides just seeing guys like Dario and Rocco get a standing ovation, or even just like seeing Derrick Rose back from injury, which was a positive sign. Hopefully for the future, he'll come back in all of the games and he won't just be here every other game. But, you know, I mean, I don't know, Colton. It's a tough one. We have to look forward to San Antonio on Friday, but I guess we should start talking about what we need to do in order to spark this team back up, you know?
Yes, let's talk about that. But first, let's take a break for some sponsors. Colton Molesky, Trey Flynn. We've just been talking about the 76ers game. And if you're Saunders, Trey, what are you doing to get your team jazzed up and motivated here? Because you do have a little bit of a break. The Spurs game is on Friday, and that is a home game. So you're coming back home. You do have a little bit of a break here. What do you do to get these guys locked in again? Because, I mean, there's a lot of basketball left, but this is a good way to lose a team here. It is a big blowout loss, a win that you really did need to try and kind of stay hanging around that eighth seed conversation spot, and now you're starting to drop games. The Utah Jazz are starting to lock into that eighth seed and build a lead over some of these teams like the Lakers, the Kings, the Timberwolves. So if you're Saunders, how do you get this team locked back in?
If I'm Saunders, I might just take a chalk talk day today, honestly. Like, I don't know if the Jim Boylan approach, and for listeners who don't know, Jim Boylan, the new head coach of the Chicago Bulls, essentially made that team, his team, run suicides and, like, have them do push-ups and sit-ups on, like, their days between their back-to-back games. And that team obviously didn't have a good time with that. And I'm not sure that approach works. A lot of these younger players, I feel like they seriously need somebody to like show them, some wisdom. And if you show the Wolves how far they've come over the past 14 years of making the playoffs last year, and you show this team how far they can really go in the near future if they make the playoffs again this year, maybe do some chalk talk and, you know, show some film and show where they're messing up on film and how they can be better and how guys like Andrew Wiggins can be more aggressive. He might bring this team more together rather than just like a Tom Thibodeau doing a really tough practice with like, half first stringers versus half first stringers. Like, I don't know if that's really necessary today. That's usually what they always get. So I think he needs to bring this team more, in together and try to create a positive conglomerate moving forward. And kind of like what you were just saying, like the standings are so rough. Like the Lakers and Jazz are tied with the eighth seed right now, and the Timberwolves are 2.5 games back from those seeds, and they're the 11th seed right now, tied with New Orleans Pelicans, and Dallas Mavericks only came back from them. So it's just crazy in the West right now. How it's been all year, but they just can't afford to lose against San Antonio on Friday. So they have to change some things up. So maybe a chalk talk day would be a good idea today, and then tomorrow get right back at it. And just like how I've been saying for the past few weeks, it's not for me freaking out about this game. I've really just been, honing in on this. I really think a starting lineup change would make sense here. I would really try to get Sarge in the starting lineup. I like the idea of just spacing out the floor more. If you have a 3-point shooting center, if you just look at like teams like the Knicks when Porzingis was healthy, or Jokic with the Denver Nuggets, or even like the Milwaukee Bucks, which you just brought up. If you can floor space with like Brooke Lopez, with a big guy like Giannis, like it's able to work. And we just saw Philadelphia last night, actually, just like Joel Embiid able to step back behind the 3-point line opens up guys like JJ Redick around pick and rolls. Like it just works better. It's more smooth. And I just think it would be a more fluid offense. What are your thoughts?
No, I absolutely agree with everything you said. I like the idea of just kind of talking these guys through this, making sure you're not losing anybody. I also think it would be really good. You probably just want to keep these guys together, right? I mean, you don't want any rifts to start. I'm not saying that all of a sudden the locker room is going to shatter after a big loss, but there is a potential for that to happen. And so maybe just making sure, hey, you know what? Mandatory team dinner. You all got to hang out together. You're not going to You're not going to have six of you go off and start talking shit about a couple of you. It's going to be a team dinner. We're all going to go to like Ruth's Chris or something, and you're all going to have some steaks and talk about anything but basketball. But you're all going to hang out and make sure you're around each other, make sure that we're all handling the loss together. It's a team thing, not just going to your house and thinking about it individually. You're working through it as a team, maybe after a Chalk Talk session, but making sure that you're not losing anybody after this, I think, is really important, because it is amazing, but it really only does take one or two guys. And even at any level, if you've played sports, you know this. Even in like high school football, it only takes one or two guys drifting off to really start to create chinks in the locker room armor. And so the Timberwolves, I feel like, just started to kind of clear out their locker room of the fog of what was going on before. And you don't want that to sneak back into the locker room. So make sure that you're doing everything you can to keep from losing guys after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be so easy, just how you're alluding to, for some of these guys to kind of wander off. And I've seen the Timberwolves do it, like via Instagram. Like, they've been showing that they're at Topgolf, like with each other, like after wins. And that's really awesome. But like, I'd like to see them really come together after losses, which is really, really important. And one thing that Glenn Taylor has said that he wanted to see from Ryan Saunders is, what does he do when he faces adversity as a young head coach, as a 32-year-old? And that'd be a really big sign for Ryan Saunders moving forward. We don't really need to know what he's doing with the team today or tomorrow, but it would just be helpful, you know, if we see these guys just come back together against San Antonio like they did have a good past few days. Even if it is just practicing today, if he just does something small with them, you know, just making these players individually happy as a unit would be really, really awesome. And like you said, they don't really need to talk basketball, but they just need to build each other more as a family. And that's what can be so tough about the NBA. They're making millions of dollars. It's really hard to ask them to be a family when they're millionaires, essentially. Like, it's not like a high school basketball team. So it's really tough to force that on guys. But this team, you know, there's not a lot of wanderers. I can't really think of any guy on this team that's going to, like, essentially the Timberwolves don't really have a Deion Waiters. Like, they don't have a guy who's just going to, like, do him, which is really good. And also, it also is interesting because we kind of do need a crazy spark plug off the bench, but we don't really need that attitude. So it's just it's just where we are right now.
No, yeah, you're right. And as far as the lineups too, I do think it's time. And don't get me wrong, I actually really love Taj Gibson, and there are plenty of times both last year and this year where he'll have like a sneaky double-double that, like, you look at the moments on defense and on offense that he came through in some of these games, and you're like, geez, I don't know if we could have won this game without Taj Gibson. I mean, maybe he only had an 11 and 10 type of night, but it was so crucial, not just how he came in, but when he came in, that they might lose this game without him. And I still think he has an important role on this team, but I think you just got to throw Sarge in that slot as the starter. I think that he's going to help you jump out to a start faster, and I think he's going to give teams some more diverse looks right away. And then you pull in Taj Gibson, and you have him, and if he's coming off the bench and playing, even if he's coming off the bench and playing something high like 21-minute nights sometimes, I'm fine with that. But I think that you got to put your best foot forward, and I think that is with Sarge at that 4 spot, or even if you have him switch with Towns and playing at the 5 spot and have Towns play a little more out on the wing, maybe try and stretch that defense out a little bit more. That's stuff that you can do with both of those guys and have them flip-flop back and forth and still space the floor out really well. And I just think that it opens up a lot of stuff for the Timberwolves, and I think that's something that I would love to see right away against the Spurs.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea against San Antonio, especially because they've done very well this year in terms of what they have on that team, in terms of that roster and lineup that they're using. But they haven't defended extremely well against the three-point shot. And for whatever reason, I think it might just be Popovich trying to catch up, as he says he doesn't like two of the three. So I think it might be a good idea to stretch it out more with Dario. And I also think that, like, they need to get Saric ready, because if the Timberwolves are going to make the playoffs this year, I don't think Taj Gibson is going to be their starting four. I think you have to have the best guys out there in the starting five if you're going to be in the postseason, especially in the West. And I'm just excited to see, like, a Tyus Jones, Andrew Wiggins, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and Karl-Anthony Towns starting five. Like, that just sounds like a complete mess for an opponent. Like, I don't know what a team is going to do offensively against that team that's super long and super crappy on defense and can knock down threes in your face as well. Like, that's a scary starting five. Then coming off the bench, just having guys that are veterans like Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson, and then having a crafty defender too in Josh Okogie. Like, that would be a solid team right there, and I would be excited to watch that, especially with, like, Jeff Teague too coming off the bench. So that'd be fun.
We're going to another break for some sponsors, and then we're going to talk about the trade deadline quickly before we head out. But first, some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, helping everybody get over the recent loss and get you jazzed up and locked in, just like we're hoping Saunders gets the Timberwolves jazzed up and locked in for the next game. But quickly, I wanted to touch on this because we'll dive into all the Spurs stuff on Friday, and we've got plenty of stuff to talk about this week. The one thing I wanted to touch on before we head out here, without Rocco, it was really clear early on in that game that they weren't able to keep pace with the 76ers. And even with Rocco, you said even with Rocco, maybe you only lose by 30. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I also don't share any optimism towards winning if Rocco is in this lineup. So after a game like this, they just played a team that's in the top five as far as the playoff standing in the Eastern Conference. The Philadelphia 76ers are the fourth best team in the East right now. And so you look at this team, trade deadline is February 7th. Does this loss kind of make it really kind of drawn to focus how important a trade might be for this team? Or do you think that this team still has the pieces on the roster? They just need to have everything click into place and all the injuries kind of leave this team alone to let everything kind of lock into place.
It's tough, right? Because on one hand, you could wait for the injuries to dissipate and then hopefully your team, you know, comes together and becomes the team that you know they're capable of becoming. The problem is we really haven't seen this team become that team, like the team that we all thought they were going to be. Like when the Jimmy Butler trade was originally made and there was a lot of like hoorah after Dario Saric, Robert Covington were doing so well the past for like 1 week there. Timberwolves were like 5-1, I believe. Like that was a really solid stretch. But like that ended up falling apart fairly quickly and they went to their old roller coaster ways with Tom Thibodeau. And, you know, this game, I don't want to, you know, how he said, we don't want to freak out too much from this loss last night. But I've been saying this, you know, since we started the podcast, like, I'm a trade guy for better or worse. And, like, there's obviously a missing component off the bench. There's not a solid wing to take over from when Robert Covington's been injured. When he was going to get injured, that's what I was saying. Now he's hurt. And Josh Okogie is playing pretty well. But like we saw last night, he's still a rookie. And this team isn't necessarily rebuilding and they're not necessarily tanking. So they can't really afford to play Okogie key minutes if he's going to be, you know, wishy-washy if they want to make the playoffs. So making another move might be a good idea. And our only assets are guys like Jeff Teague and Gorgui Dieng to move. I know we talked to Darren Wolfson. And he said a guy to watch out for would be like, you know, if they wanted to move Anthony Tolliver on a cheap contract to a playoff team, like another playoff team, that might be a good idea as well, and hopefully get somebody out of that. But there's a lot of teams on the market going into this. The highlighted team right now, the most highlighted team is from Mark Stein from ESPN, said that the Atlanta Hawks are interested in moving Kent Bazemore, Jeremy Lin, and Dwayne Debin, which is interesting.
That is interesting. I would say that I know that obviously you're the super pro trade guy on this podcast. I'm not necessarily opposed to a trade, but I do think that it won't happen. A big reason I don't think it won't happen still is because if you look at the Jimmy Butler situation and how long that deal took to push through, there's a good chance that there might be a deal on the table and the Timberwolves just kind of bumble and stumble and don't get it through in time for the deadline. Like, that's a real possibility that might happen with this team, which is crazy to talk about when you're talking about, like, professionals in a professional realm. But that's real. That actually might happen, where they might have a couple offers on the table and they just can't get all their ducks in a row before February 7th.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be very unfortunate. I just think that, like, getting rid of Tom Thibodeau as the president of basketball operations, I think the point of that was to move forward with a head coach, but also move forward with like a managerial position. It's like, you know, they didn't hire anybody, but Scott Layden should be able to take over and just kind of make moves if need be. Like a great asset for me on a playoff team would be a guy like Anthony Tolliver as a stretch four, or even Taj Gibson, who's like a you know, downright super veteran that can get things done when you need him to on both ends. And I don't want to see a guy like Taj Gibson go. There's no way the Timberwolves can't get back like a young prospect who hasn't done well for that team, for whatever team he's going to come from, and then like a second round pick. Like that's not the worst idea in the world. You know, it's really not a bad idea. Even if it's to Toronto for like Norman Powell. Anything can happen, but we just need like a wing to back up Robert Covington. Like, we're missing that guy.
Definitely, definitely. And because you don't want to hit the panic button after a big loss, but you also have to use those games as, all right, so this team is a playoff caliber team, a consistent playoff caliber team, and we want to measure, okay, where are we in comparison to that, and what can we do to get to that level of consistency and get to that level of play? Because while you don't want to hit the panic button, you also do need to learn from these things. And you did learn that the Timberwolves just aren't in that realm yet with the 76ers, with the Warriors, with the Celtics. That's what you've learned this season from a bunch of these losses. And while you don't want to move too quickly, you also need to figure out how do we start to eat into that gap. And at this point, I think you are starting to win. You are starting to win as far as the argument. I think you're probably right. They are going to need a trade to close that gap. The question is, will they do it? Will they be able to pull the trigger? I have less confidence. And so we'll see how this all plays out, and we'll probably be talking about this more this week. But as of right now, Trey, I think that's it for me. You got anything else you want to tell the good people of Timberwolves Nation?
No, I don't have anything else I want to tell them. I guess keep your head up and, you know, be excited for this future trade podcast that I'm going to force Colton to make us do. And we're just going to talk about trade ideas for 30 minutes. I'm super excited for it.
I love it. I love it. All right. Yeah. Look out for that in the near future. And yeah, just keep your heads up. The season is far from over. It is one game. So moving on. Onto San Antonio, as they say. Thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.